approaching the entranceway via the front door. In the family dining room area, we see what appears to be a large pool of blood.
I learned, never let anyone's emotions cloud your vision when you're investigating a crime.
A hammer covered with what appears to be blood.
And never jump to any conclusions.
Semi-automatic handgun.
Until you've had plenty of time to think about it.
I had seen many crime scenes where there was a lot of blood and gruesome sights, but none that bad. I was at the Springfield Police Department in the major case office, and I heard the radio call.
911, emergency, what's your emergency?
Emergency, emergency. This man just, he ate my wife. I shot him. Please help me.
Detective Cox, who was my partner at the time, drove.
And dispatch advises that the second victim that was at the scene was actually believed to be the intruder, and that the husband had shot the intruder.
Hold me.
What's the problem?
I just shot this man in my house.
He's inside your house?
He beat my wife.
He had the hammer in his hand, and he was standing over her. And I was like, oh my God. Donna, oh my God.
Are you Mark Winger?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
And your wife is Donna?
Yes, she is. I gotta get to my wife. Please, just let me get to my wife.
Springfield is a beautiful little town. It's Midwestern, it's small, the people are sweet. It's just a lovely place.
It's a very friendly and clean city with very sensitive and compassionate people.
My name is Sarah Jane Drescher, and I am Donna Winger's mother. Mark and Donna were just so happy.
We don't know where she's sleeping tonight.
I mean, she was just so enthused. I mean, that's all there was to it, to be a mommy. I mean, that was the best for her.
She's beautiful.
My name is Ira Drescher, and I am Donna Winger's stepfather. Mark told the police basically what had transpired. Here he was, 31 years old, with a three-month-old child, and he had to shoot a man. My gosh, our hearts bled for him.
I don't think there was ever anyone who met her who couldn't love her.
Say hi.
Who would want to hurt such a beautiful person?
Where's the man at?
He's laying on the floor.
From every case, you learn something. And this one taught me, you never take anything at face value, nothing.
He was killing my wife!
Invitation to a Murder. Tonight's 48 Hours Mystery.
Mark Winger was calling from his own home after his wife Donna was attacked on a hot August afternoon in 1995.
Who is this man?
I don't know who he is.
So many of the good things have been stripped away from me.
Almost everyone who knew Mark and Donna Winger,
they were terrific together.
Adorable.
She was crazy about him.
Thought they were perfect together.
They were absolutely an adorable model couple.
They were both respected and successful members of their community. Mark was a nuclear engineer for the state of Illinois. Donna was an operating room technician.
I would like to just say hello to Donna and Mark.
And both sets of in-laws were delighted when the couple got married in 1989.
Donna, Mark, we love you so much.
The Wingers were eager to start a family. But there was a problem. They learned Donna could not bear children.
She's so excited.
excited. She hasn't slept for days.
So when Donna and Mark adopted a baby girl in June 1995, they were elated.
I mean, my heart was just pounding. I just couldn't believe it.
Here's Grandma Drescher holding our little baby.
Mark and Donna doted on their daughter.
Are we on, Daddy? And here's Deanne.
There's Deanne.
Here's Aunt Deanne.
And they showed her off to everyone, especially Donna's best friend, Deanne Schultz.
Donna was really special, very friendly, real exuberant, full of life.
But just 3 months later, the good times ended abruptly. It all began when Donna returned from a visit to her mother and stepfather in Florida.
When I kiss them goodbye, the last thing I always say is tell the pilot to drive carefully. And I kissed her and off she went.
Donna Winger and her baby arrived here at the St. Louis airport and got into a shuttle van for the hour and a half long ride back home to Springfield. It was an unusual drive with an unusual driver. A man named Roger Harrington, who'd been working for the van company for 6 months.
The guy scared her. She said that he was very frightening. He said things about killing people, setting car bombs, mutilating people.
Harrington was also speeding.
He was telling Donna that sometimes while he drives, this godlike character would come to him, pull him out of his body, and he would be flying above the trees.
She and the baby made it home, but Donna was very rattled.
She was scared enough to tell me that she was very uneasy and scared to be alone.
Mark Winger complained to Roger Harrington's boss.
I blew up at him, told him about, you know, his van driver speeding, you know, with my wife and my baby, the inappropriate things he was saying.
Then, less than a week after Donna's wild ride, Winger says he was on his treadmill in the basement when he heard a thump.
You come up the stairs and it's very dark in that stairwell. I'm just starting to hear crying from, sounded like the bedroom.
The baby, he says, was alone in the master bedroom. And there were strange sounds coming from the dining room.
Instantly, I knew that that wasn't right at all. I just grabbed my gun and started going down the hall.
Winger says when he came down this hallway, he saw one of the most horrifying things any husband could see. His wife was on the floor here in the dining room. There was a stranger over her, bludgeoning her with a hammer.
You can't imagine it. You can't. When I came down the hallway, I had my weapon pointed at him and I went to pull the trigger.
And that's when Winger says he shot the man in the head. When police got to Winger's house, the victims were in terrible shape, but alive.
The male was taking real deep, labored breaths. And I thought his time was limited.
As paramedics went to work, Officer Dave Barringer got his Polaroid camera.
So I thought, if we're going to have pictures with showing where the bodies were located, I'm going to have to take these pictures now because they're going to be gone within a matter of a few minutes.
He showed us how quickly he took pictures. Three pictures.
I only had three pictures left in my camera.
Within minutes, both Donna and the man were rushed to the hospital.
I just knew that she was in dire straits.
And Mark Winger began telling police what happened that day.
And I was like, oh my God. You know, I was like, Donna, oh my God.
I've been in crime scene work a long time, and there's been very few as severe and bloody as this one was.
Homicide Detective Charlie Cox knew there was little hope that either Donna Winger or the man lying near her on the floor would survive their wounds.
I said a prayer. I do that at all my homicides. I stand over the body and
say a little prayer.
Yeah.
Cox grabbed the man's ID from his wallet, and then he got right to work, questioning Mark Winger in the bedroom.
I was in shock. I was in shock the whole time they were questioning me. I did my best.
And he's more or less rocking back and forth as he's talking to us. Mm-hmm. And you could tell he's nervous and upset. So I'm trying to be as delicate as I can with my questions.
Winger told the detectives the hammer was his, left out by Donna as a reminder to hang a hat rack. And he had a question of his own.
He said, "Who is that guy out there? Is his name Roger?" At that point, I felt compelled to let him know the truth. And I said, "Yes, that's Roger Harrington." He says, "Oh my God, that's the guy that's been harassing my wife and me."
Oh my God. And I fell over on my side and just cried.
Harrington was the van driver who drove Donna home from the airport 6 days before. Winger told Cox about that harrowing ride. He also told Cox about two anonymous phone calls that Winger believed were from Harrington.
I thought I was going to jail because I just shot a man in the head.
But Winger could not have been more wrong.
I tried to console him.
The police had all but cleared him. They didn't consider him a killer. They considered him a victim.
At least here, in my mind, you're somewhat of a hero. I said, "You've killed the person who was killing your wife." I said,
You said he was a hero?
Yes.
Cox's partner, Doug Williamson, helped to calm Winger.
I was trying to let him know what we were going to do, how the police were going to help him.
After Donna and Harrington were taken away, Winger managed to give the detectives a detailed statement. He told them that Donna was on her knees when he took aim at Harrington.
Harrington looks up at him.
Yes.
And he shoots
him. And he shoots him. Because he's getting ready to go down and hit her again. And then Harrington, from what the position he was in, he said at that point, he fell off of his wife and rolled back.
Like that.
Cox's investigation of the crime scene backed up Mark's story.
Basic evidence in here where the crime occurred matched up with what he was saying.
Everything matched up. There was blood where Donna was killed. There was blood where Harrington's head landed, and the bullet
was
still
on the table, as he said it was, from when he called 911.
What's more, Harrington had been a psychiatric patient with a history of delusions, and Cox knew him. He once broke up a fight between Harrington and his wife.
He had her bent over the couch, getting ready to hit her again when I grabbed him.
Harrington seems to fit the profile of a murder suspect pretty well.
Very well.
Harrington died shortly after arriving at the hospital, and Donna died minutes later. She never regained consciousness.
Oh, my God.
I felt deeply for him. I'm a very religious person. He seemed to be that as well.
Donna's mother and stepfather, Sarah Jane and Ira Drescher, were inconsolable when they heard about her murder.
I had to hold her because she was wailing.
They were shocked to hear that Donna's ride from the airport had escalated into a homicide.
She's a good girl.
Was she scared by this driver?
She wasn't scared, no. She wasn't scared. She was just disturbed in a way, you know, that this was such a crazy conversation.
Ira and Sarah Jane rushed to their son-in-law's side.
We felt terrible for him. He's lost his wife also, and then he had to turn around and shoot a man.
He was crying, and I said, "Mark, I know you did the best you could, and I love you very much."
It was an open and shut case. One day after Winger shot Roger Harrington, the prosecutor announced his conclusions.
Mr. Winger acted in self-defense when he shot Mr. Harrington, and therefore at this time, no charges will be filed against him, and I anticipate that there will never be any charges filed against Mr. Winger.
Yeah, I was fine with that.
Case closed.
Case was closed before then.
There was an outpouring of support for Mark here in Springfield. Almost everyone believed he was a good family man whose life had been shattered by a madman. But one family wasn't buying that story at all. Roger Harrington's family.
What were you trying to tell the police?
I was trying to tell them there is no way. You guys are so wrong. I knew he was not capable.
Harrington's sister, Barbara Howell, pleaded with Detective Cox.
He was very rude, very rude. Oh, very rude. He said, ma'am, anytime you want to know how your kid brother walked in that home, snapped, and killed that woman, come to my office and I'll show you step by step.
Roger's mother, Helen, felt the shame of a city that believed she had raised a psychotic killer.
Just felt branded like, who are we?
You felt branded?
How would anybody feel if their son was called a murderer?
The Harringtons bore their grief quietly, believing they were alone. They didn't realize that someone else doubted Winger's story, someone close to the investigation.
How convincing was Mark Winger that night and the night after?
It was very convincing.
Detective Doug Williamson.
Were you convinced?
No.
Williamson had a lot of questions. Why would Donna leave her baby alone on her bed and open the door to Harrington, a man she supposedly feared?
Roger Harrington was allowed into the house. There was no forced entry. Somebody let him in.
And Harrington parked right in front of the Winger home, leaving behind a piece of paper with a puzzling message.
I saw that there was a note on the front seat, and it had Mark Winger's name, his address, and 4:30 p.m. He says he doesn't know Roger Harrington, has never met him, and he does not indicate any appointment when I have already seen the note, which indicates an appointment.
There's always things in every homicide that don't fit.
So what did you do with those things that bothered you?
Just let them bother me, like they always do.
Cox saw no reason to doubt that the nuclear engineer justifiably shot a disturbed intruder. But Williamson wanted to investigate further. His bosses turned him down flat.
They discounted everything I said.
How did they discount it?
They just said the case is going to be closed, that's it.
And that's the way it stayed for 3.5 years. Until...
You didn't know what she wanted to say.
No.
But you knew it was going to be big.
Yes.
A surprise witness came forward. Everyone in Springfield, Illinois, knew Mark Winger's story. It was heroic and heartbreaking. But Detective Doug Williamson had never believed one word of it.
I was argumentative. I pointed out what we call red flags, pieces that don't seem to fit.
At first, Williamson couldn't even convince his own partner, Charlie Cox, that Winger was a murderer. But Cox says he started getting suspicious when Winger kept showing up here at the police station. A few months after the murder, Winger came by to ask for his gun back.
I released the gun back to Mark, and we sat and talked for about a half hour.
What did you talk to him about?
Just things in general. He was wanting to know how the case was going, and as far as I was concerned, he should have just accepted it was closed.
Winger denies it, but Cox remembers him dropping by a second time, this time to say he was getting remarried to his daughter's new nanny, whom he had hired just 5 months after Donna's murder.
And he kept coming in. I kept feeling like he was trying to find out if we were checking into anything. And I went back to Doug and said, something's wrong here, big time.
Winger's behavior was making Cox believe that his partner had been right all along. He thought about the problems in the case, like that note in Harrington's car. And now Cox also wanted the case reopened, fearing that Mark Winger had duped the police.
And the bosses said, no way. We're not going to open a case of this magnitude with your gut feeling and embarrass the department and embarrass Mr. Winger.
As the years passed, Mark's new wife adopted his child, and they had two other children. And then, all of a sudden, the whole case got turned on its head.
We got a lucky break.
What was that?
Deanne Schultz.
Deanne Schultz was Donna's best friend.
Here's Aunt Deanne.
There's Deanne.
and she was deeply troubled.
I was hospitalized. I started drinking. I tried to overdose. I wanted to die.
For 3.5 years, Deanne had kept a secret, and what she was finally ready to say would change everything.
I know the police think that he didn't do it, but they maybe if, you know, if they knew a little, you know, just a little bit that I knew, there could be an investigation.
So she said that her and Mark had been having an affair.
It was a shock to everyone, especially Cox, who right after Donna's murder had written, it was very apparent that he and his wife were very much in love and that this should have never happened.
And now Deanne Schultz, just like that, says we were having an affair?
Yes.
Well, what did you make of that, detective?
I said, we got the evidence we need.
Deanne told them the affair began a month before Donna's murder and continued a few months after she died until Winger ended it.
It was an enormous burden.
You sort of wanted to unload this information?
Yes.
And she dropped an even bigger bombshell. She told police Mark wanted out of his marriage so badly, he had talked about killing Donna.
He mentioned that it would be easier if Donna just died.
Deanne said Winger suggested that she could play a role.
Daddy's feeding you.
He had said that he would be out of town, and he mentioned me coming and finding Donna. That was the gist of the conversation.
Her body.
Yes. And I said, you're crazy.
And Deanne said Winger even talked about the van driver, Roger Harrington.
According to Deanne Schultz, he told her he had to figure out a way to get him into the house.
My impression was that he was going to give him a hard time, make sure he never messed with his family again.
Winger admits he had an affair with Deanne.
I was a good husband to Donna. I made a mistake. I'm human. It was stupid and it was wrong.
But he denies everything else she said.
You said to her, you wish Donna was dead. That's
a horrible, horrible lie.
Did you ever say that to her?
No.
You never said that it would be easier if Donna would just die?
At the time, Deanne says she didn't take Winger's comments seriously. But as the years passed, she felt mounting pressure from her own conscience.
I wish that she would have lived and I would have died. I would have traded places.
Why did you feel that?
Because she didn't deserve to die. She shouldn't have died.
With Deanne's dramatic revelation, the case was finally reopened.
Looking at the door.
The detectives went straight to the old files and found yet another surprise. Those three Polaroids taken by Officer Barringer.
Well, did you look at them in 95?
No.
Why not?
Didn't know they existed.
The Polaroids were taken before Donna and Harrington were moved to the hospital, but were never shown to investigators. When the detectives finally saw these photos, they were flabbergasted.
It didn't take but 10 seconds. It was a smoking gun.
It was the smoking gun. Why?
Roger Harrington's body, the placement of that body in that photo, blew Mark's story out of the water. It was over. Roger Harrington's head and feet were in the opposite way of what Mark told us happened.
Please help me!
In the chaos, detectives did not have time to note for themselves where Donna and Harrington lay before paramedics rushed them to the ambulance. To understand why the police now thought Winger had to be lying requires a little forensic fancy footwork. Charlie Cox went with us to the Winger's old house to demonstrate.
The story that Winger told is Mr. Harrington would have been lying basically like this.
Because he would have fallen backwards.
He would have fallen backwards.
Shot and landed that way. Here.
Remember, police said Winger told them when he shot Harrington, Harrington fell backwards off of Donna.
So how was he found?
He was actually completely
180 degrees
the different direction.
Police believe it could not have happened as Winger said.
He would have had to completely do a flip and land over here.
Land how?
Land like this.
So he would have
and it's physically impossible with a .45 caliber round to have done that flip.
Barringer's three Polaroids were becoming the centerpiece of the case.
How could nobody tell you that there were Polaroid pictures of the crime scenes? I mean, we're talking about the only three pictures of the bodies as they lay.
I agree.
How does that get lost?
Got overlooked. And in a case where it was as closed as fast as this one was, it was never thought of again. This thing was closed by the 10:30 news that night, for all practical purposes.
4 years after the crime, the detectives had no doubt that they had botched the original investigation. They had allowed Mark Winger to get away with murder by pinning the crime on the obvious suspect, Roger Harrington.
Roger Harrington was a perfect patsy to set up for this crime.
Police believe Mark Winger began methodically plotting the double murder immediately after Donna's bizarre ride with Harrington on the way home from St. Louis.
It's the perfect guy to seize on to make it look like an intruder had come in and killed his wife.
He fits Winger's purposes perfectly.
Correct.
Front door. The detectives could not afford any more errors. After Deanne Schultz came forward, it took them 2 more years to cover every detail and put together a murder case against Mark Winger. Finally, 6 years after his wife Donna was killed, Winger was arrested and put in jail awaiting trial.
Being a religious man like I am, I haven't gloated on that. I'm just glad that we've got the right guy in jail, that he didn't get away with it.
You haven't gloated, not even the teeny,
yes, I
tiniest
did.
Bit?
I'm not a perfect Little Christian. I'm not a perfect Christian.
Detective Charlie Cox, who once called Winger a hero, is now intent on proving him a cold-blooded murderer and vindicating the innocent man who was killed.
I hurt the Harrington family a lot. They buried him as a murderer, and yeah, that bothered me a lot.
But Mark Winger is just as determined to prove that the police got it right the first time.
Roger Harrington killed my wife. I saw it with my own eyes.
I am just so sad.
How could a normal human being do something like this?
Nearly 7 years after Donna's death, Sarah Jane and Ira Drescher came to Mark Winger's trial knowing the evidence against him was strong, but still clinging to the hope that something would exonerate him.
Why were you so eager for him to prove that he didn't do it?
Because we loved him. Because he was part of our family, because Donna loved him, because they appeared to have such an incredibly wonderful marriage.
Did you kill Donna?
No.
With that hammer?
No, I did not.
Mark Winger is a cold-blooded, calculated, deceitful person that planned and staged this event.
The prosecution team, led by John Schmidt, said Winger lied from the beginning. Even during his 911 call.
I just saw this man in my house.
Who is this man?
I don't know who he is.
It was a lie.
They say Winger knew very well who that man was. He invited him to his house, and that was the crux of their case.
The question of the case, in a lot of ways, is very simple. What's Roger Harrington doing in the house? The evidence was very clear that it was a meeting that was set to lure Harrington into the home.
If it's a meeting, it's a murder.
Ray Duffy, who owned the airport van company, provided the crucial link for the prosecution.
It was obvious that he wanted to talk to the driver direct.
Duffy testified that Winger called to complain about Harrington's behavior during the ride and afterwards.
He just wanted to talk to this driver and tell him to leave his family alone.
Winger claimed Harrington was making anonymous phone calls to Winger's house.
So he wanted to talk to Roger Harrington?
Yes.
Was that unusual?
Yes, it is. Usually, when people have a complaint, they just call the office.
And Duffy said Harrington was eager to work things out.
I explained to him that Mr. Winger wanted to talk to him, and he said, that's fine, give him my number and have him call me.
Mark called Roger Harrington, set up an appointment for 4:30.
But police believe there's one thing Winger didn't plan for when he lured Harrington to his house. That note Detective Williamson found in Harrington's car.
If Mark would have told us there was a meeting and the guy went berserk in the house, this case probably would still be closed. It would be done. But he didn't.
When Harrington went in the house, police say not only was he unarmed,
Mr. Harrington had a coffee mug and a pack of cigarettes.
He left a far more deadly object behind.
Roger Harrington had a tire iron fashioned as a weapon in his car. If he was going there to bludgeon someone, he had a weapon in his car. Yet he chose a weapon from inside the house that he would have no idea was there.
What do you think happened?
I think that Roger Harrington showed up. They were seated at the table in the dining room, and he held a conversation. At some point, Mr. Winger shoots Roger Harrington in the head. I believe that Donna was in the bedroom because she didn't want to be around Roger. She comes running out of the bedroom to see what had happened. Mark Winger picks up a hammer. He strikes her several times.
Untangling the evidence in this 7-year-old case was a huge job for the jurors.
You wanted to believe he was innocent.
The timeline of everything going on.
I just got chills thinking about it.
Three of them sat down to talk to us. The defense told them that unlike Winger, who was successful and a respected member of the community, Roger Harrington had a troubled, violent past.
Here is some testimony that really does make Roger look guilty. I mean, Roger was weird. Roger showed up at their house. You know, there were some phone calls. It could have been him.
The defense also pointed out that at the time of the murder in 1995, detectives had the Polaroids, they had the note in the car. In fact, they had all the same evidence that they now found so incriminating against Winger.
Trained professionals saw this same scene we saw, and they closed the case the next day.
Deanne Schultz, who was given immunity, provided the only new evidence, testimony that Winger had talked about killing his wife. But she had attempted suicide 4 times and had undergone electroshock therapy. The defense called her unreliable.
Roger Harrington killed my wife.
The jurors knew what was at stake. By now, Winger and his new wife had 4 children. Including the baby he and Donna adopted.
To tear him away from his family, I had a hard time with that.
But Roger Harrington's family was looking for justice.
Were you sure that your son didn't do it?
I know he didn't do it.
No matter what the decision was, one family would feel more pain.
Were you leaning one way or another?
No.
After nearly 2 weeks of testimony, Sarah Jane and Ira Drescher are overwhelmed by the evidence against Mark Winger.
And what is so hard to understand is that the way he murdered Donna was so vicious and so violent.
Roger Harrington's family hopes to clear his name.
I was praying. I kept going, Raj, if you're up there, you hear me. Bring us something good. Bring us something so that, you know, Mom and Dad can sleep good tonight.
The jury deliberated for 13 hours before reaching its verdict.
I knew the moment they walked out the door.
I remember seeing the jury coming in. I remember my heart feeling as though it was going to come out of my chest.
I can hear Judge Zappa's voice. We, the jury, find the defendant, Mark Winger, guilty.
It is the verdict that the Dreschers both hoped for and dreaded.
Yes, and Papa Ira's getting a look now.
Confirmation that they'd been betrayed and deceived.
Daddy's feeding you.
By a man who had been part of their family.
Smile for the camera, sweetie.
I have no idea why he did it, and I think I will never understand why he did it. And I think it's a question that will never be answered in my mind.
Winger's parents, who had spent a small fortune defending their son, were stunned by the verdict.
We believe in the absolute innocence of our son. We got the best help we could. Inside, we're dying by inches.
The jurors say the case against Mark Winger was clear, and they believe Deanne Schultz.
She was very emotional up there. She loved Mark at the time. I think she was sincerely telling us the truth.
I feel free. I didn't realize just how powerful secrets can be.
But ultimately, the jurors say the state's best evidence was the first evidence police ever collected. Those three Polaroids.
Did the defense offer any acceptable explanation to you about how the bodies ended up in the position that they were?
No, there was no explanation.
Mark Winger didn't offer any explanations because he didn't testify. But 5 months after the verdict, he spoke with 48 Hours at a prison in Pontiac, Illinois. He now claims that he personally saw the paramedics move Harrington, although they all denied that at trial.
The bodies had been moved before the Polaroids were taken?
Absolutely.
Why should we believe you?
Why should you not believe me?
Because a jury didn't. What's the best evidence of your innocence?
The fact that I had a wonderful marriage. Everybody knows I had a wonderful marriage with Donna.
But Winger cannot explain the note in Harrington's car.
The thing is, I can't offer you any answers to, you know, why Roger Harrington had 4:30 written on a note.
Harrington's family says the meaning of that note has always been clear. Roger went to Winger's home because Mark Winger invited him.
Did you feel vindicated?
Yeah.
Yeah? How are you doing now?
Pretty good, I guess.
Does it still hurt?
Sure it hurts. Yep, sure does.
Are you embarrassed?
Oh, yes.
Are you?
Very much so.
Former lead detective Charlie Cox says he learned a valuable lesson.
How close did he come to getting away with murder?
Very close.
Instead, Mark Winger was sentenced to life in prison, which could have been the end of this story. Except it wasn't. In spring 2005, an inmate at the prison in Pontiac came forward and said that Winger tried to involve him in a murder-for-hire plot.
I knew in my head that he was a murderer, but my heart had a hard time believing it still.
The intended victim was Deanne Schultz. And Winger's plot was so complicated, you might say twisted, that it took 19 handwritten pages and hours of secretly recorded conversations to spell it out. Deanne would be kidnapped and forced to write and record lengthy statements, all scripted by Winger, saying that she lied, made everything up, and believes Winger is innocent. Then she'd be killed. Winger's notes covered everything. Only Deanne's fingerprints can be on the tape cassette, letters and envelopes. Her saliva must be found on the stamps. And Winger asked for one more victim, if possible.
Oh, by the way, if there's any money left over, kill Ira Drescher also, because he's the son of a gun of a father-in-law that I dislike.
In June 2007, Winger stood trial in a Pontiac, Illinois courthouse. He told jurors the whole thing was a fantasy he never planned to carry out. Ira Drescher was there.
He was chained by his hands and he was chained by his feet, and I looked at him straight in the eye and I said, Mark, your miserable life is over.
This time, the jury took less than 3 hours, including lunch. Mark Winger was convicted of soliciting murder and sentenced to another 35 years.
I've always been afraid that he would get out on some technicality. Now I know that he will never be free.
With Winger locked up for good, Sarah Jane and Ira Drescher are dedicated to keeping Donna's memory alive.
Donna really was the ultimate victim of spousal abuse. I had to find a way to keep her spirit going.
And they do that by helping other abused women, raising money for a charity named for Donna.
We established a fund at Women in Distress.
And not only do we help the women, we help the children.
Smile.
And that is all in Donna's spirit.
Mark Winger will never be eligible for parole.